Baker. This is Carl Minans, photo reporter of Life magazine, talking to you from Stockholm. Despite peace rumors that are flying about here like shrapnel and are just as uncertain, the tempo of the Finnish war is still at the crescendo reached during the Sumad breakthrough 3 weeks ago. There is fighting from Petsamo in the Arctic north to the new positions in the south on the Mannerheim line. But more than fighting, there is building, construction amid the chaos of destruction. In the south, all manpower and womanpower, all contractors, implements, and materials have been requisitioned by the army and are being thrown into the feverish task of creating new lines of defense. From north of Viipuri, curving down to Taipale, dugouts and trenches, mortar and timber are being worked one into the other to form a new and formidable obstacle to the Russian advance. And day after day, within earshot of the battle, and in some places right in the battle, the extension of the Mannerheim line continues. It is frantic work, carried on with few of the breaks most of us would hope for. Concrete freezes faster than it sets, men and materials are scarce, and hourly Soviet planes roar overhead. I have just returned from 3 months of Finland and a last look at the Mannerheim line. There, slipping from tree cover to tree cover, I dodged flight after flight of low-flying red fighting planes to witness one of the most amazing sights I have seen in the Finnish war. On a rolling hillside, bare of trees, in the sparkling sunlight of the early spring, lay what appeared to be a blanket of virgin snow. From it, however, came the sound of many hammers, of picks and shovels, of cement mixes. More red fighters swept overhead, this time at less than 800 feet, and went contentedly on their way. It was not until I was less than a block from the jumbled din that I began to comprehend what I was seeing. Covered by yards and yards of snow-white gauze and acres of pure white cellulose fibers supported on branches and sticks, were more than 400 men constructing a section of the new lines north of Viipuri. So clever was the camouflage that no Russian planes had yet spotted the new breastworks, though the construction was almost now 2 weeks old and red planes came over daily at 800 to 1,000 feet. Elsewhere, defense work continues along the roads, for Russian advance is a motorized advance and must use highways. Strategically, trees are felled to clear vital fighting areas. Left standing, however, are the tree stumps rising above the ground about 4 feet. These are anti-tank obstacles. Across open fields, likely areas of advance, acres and acres of huge, sharp, pointed granite boulders have been planted, and hillsides commanding these already bristle with field pieces and machine gun nests. Well realizing the vitalness of roads to the Soviets, the Finns have taken advantage of every rise of ground alongside both sides of the roads to construct heavy log platforms. Each of these tip in towards the road at a sharp incline and set on them by portable derricks are great sharp-edged granite boulders kept erect by 2 small wooden wedges. At a moment's notice, these wedges can be tapped out and the boulders tumbled onto the roads, making them impassable. Nor is this all, for roadways, bridges, and likely areas of travel have all been mined, and each Finnish soldier on retreat sows small hand mines as a farmer would sow potatoes. But there is construction going on back of the lines, too. Construction that certainly adds to the evidence that this is the most astounding war ever. Since the daylight hours are lengthening in Finland, and since we are rapidly approaching the time when the sun will shine round the clock and the Russian bombers can pound the country 24 hours daily, orders went out in Finland 2 weeks ago to rush bomb-proof shelters throughout the countryside. Burrow into the hills, tunnel into the rocks, dig, dig, the people have been warned. And in a month's time, it is expected that the greater part of the unmobilized population of Finland will be spending a good part of its day in ground holes, eating there, sleeping there, living there, if such is living. And still more construction, or rather reconstruction, goes on behind the lines. Every little automobile repair shop, small factories here or there, or parts of them still standing, have been turned into vital depots for speedy repair and return to the lines of captured Russian war material. In a little northern town where a peacetime breakdown in your Ford might have meant days of delay before repairs could be effected, I saw three Russian 10-ton tanks being rushed through complete overhaul. Some of the men doing the work had been mechanics, others had been farmers, but none had ever seen a tank before. Yet now their orders were to have the tanks back on the road again and towards the front in a few days, nor did they think it strange that they could, or creditable that they did. Machine guns in clusters, rifles in heaps, automatic guns, artillery pieces, trucks, ambulances, all get the necessary touch here and twist there, and east and north they head to get as close again to their original owners as clever Finnish strategy can get them. Nor is this constant addition of war supplies to the Finnish needs an unanticipated windfall to the Finnish defense. Years ago, the Finns reckoned with it so vitally in their preparations for that war, which they all felt must one day come, that they supplied their entire army with guns and ammunition of Russian caliber. And they had good experience to work upon. Their present strategy is based well upon what they learned in their war with the Russians in 1918. Even today, the Finns are using guns taken from the Russians 21 years ago. Northeast of Lake Ladoger, I rode my last stretch to the front on an 8-car battle train. With the exception of the newly built, newly armored locomotive, the entire train had been captured from the Russians in the last war. Even some of the guns were still being used. And here and there were shell pockmarks, which had remained in Russian steel all these years. Pushing ahead a flat car loaded with sand, which can be shoved and disconnected simultaneously to roll down ahead over the tracks, which are suspected of being mined, this battle train has done continuous service in this war, carrying men and supplies to pressed positions which are under heavy fire northeast of Lake Ladoga. As for faith in their own construction and defense, the Finns have not the slightest question. The Mannerheim line held through months of the heaviest and continuous fighting. It withstood attack after attack, and shell after shell. Two lines of it weakened and fell only after the Russians had pounded it week after week with artillery, and then having blown away many feet of dirt and log coverings exposing the cement, managed to get their guns under the fortifications sufficiently to tip the Finnish guns to the sky, destroying the brains of the mechanism. So the Finns are still building. They're building defense works, they're building holes in the ground. But most of them think about the day when they can stop all this and rebuild Finland.